an objective view of the stresses and strains of this somewhat unanticipated phase of life from a common sense perspective. Together with listeners and guests, we explore these challenges, ask the tough questions, and find ways to address the daily trials associated with family, friends, work, society, and more.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Blackjack Brief. I hadn't planned to do another brief. In fact, I've got several subjects planned, outlined, ready to go. One is catching up with family, friends, cousins in my particular case that I hadn't spoken to in quite some time, and spent some time over the last couple of weeks doing that. So I'm going to make a whole episode out of that and the value that comes from that. And being the person in the family that does those things is really important. Also preparing a couple other episodes we're going to redo. Is the promise still valid, with some more recent stories and evidence that has really been just making a bad situation worse. So we got to drop the gloves and get back and talk about that one. That's a very serious subject. It kind of melds together with one of my first episodes called Why I Worry. But I can't get this thought off my head, so we're doing it right now. And I keep hearing this soundbite on the news, on podcasts, on just any social media, anywhere you go, keep hearing this. And I've warned about this. I got to preface this, and this is, I'm really worked up about this one, and my voice doesn't share it yet, but I've been warning you that this election cycle is going to get ugly. I mean, everything from how is AI going to play into it with deep fake videos and audios. We just got past the Super Tuesday, and now that Nikki Haley's out, we know that Donald Trump's going to be the nominee on one side. We know that Joe Biden has full intention of being the nominee on the Democrat side and doing his, I think tonight should be pretty telling with the State of the Union. And, but pay attention. If you watch State of the Union, I don't, I may catch pieces of it or clips of it, but, I don't, because I just don't, I can't stand the left side of the aisle, right side of the aisle, stand up, sit down, clap, clap, clap. Because that's actually not even representative of how they vote. You know, watch the right side of the aisle, when certain things are said, or, they, you know, they don't agree with something he says, they'll all in unison do something. But the reality is they don't do anything in unison. The left side of the aisle is much more, committed to their party, and they tend to stick together. In fact, how often have you ever seen a representative on the left in the House or the Senate dissent from a bill or a major issue represented that they're the majority of their side? They all line up. They always line up on their side. But I shudder to think, over all of the cable news sources, the streaming sources of news, the podcast world, the video, YouTube videos, how many times is the term threat to our democracy or threat to democracy? How many times is that going to leave the commentator's mouth, or even Joe Biden's mouth for that matter tonight? But I have to pose a very, very serious question when it comes to that soundbite. What the fuck does that mean? What the fuck does threat to our democracy or threat to democracy? What does that mean? No one explains it. They throw it around. And I mean, they all do it. They're all guilty of it. They throw it around as though it's this big spooky thing out there. But the reality is, what displaces democracy? You know what? Before we even go there, let's just say this. And I don't mean to be, this isn't a civics lesson, but for God's sakes, how is our government designed? It's supposed to be a representative democracy. You vote locally, state and local for your state government, for the federal government. You vote for the person who best represents your interests. They were supposed to go to Washington and represent, representative democracy, were supposed to represent the needs and the wants of their local communities. That's why we sent them there. There was never an intention for politics to be a career. The original intent, the founding of this country, was to have people voted by their local constituents, friends and neighbors, because it weren't big communities and you didn't drive long distances. You know, even before you had motorized vehicles, it was all, you know, horse and buggy. You represented what the needs and the wants of your local community were. And you were sent to Washington to be there for a short period of time. That's i.e. term limits. And you were then supposed to go represent them, maybe get reelected if you were doing your job, or maybe not. Maybe if you went up there and didn't represent and didn't pursue the things that locally affected your local community in the best interest of your friends and neighbors, then you weren't reelected. So you came back home, you went back to your normal job, and they elected someone else to go. That's how a representative democracy is supposed to work. But it's supposed to be representative of the majority. Most local elections are on sheer numbers. There's no electoral college when it comes to local elections. Whoever gets the most votes goes to Washington to represent. And so in practice, it's supposed to be everyone has a voice through their vote and the majority wins. And that person then is held to account for what they're supposed to be up there doing. And when I say up there, I live in Texas, up there in Washington, D.C., doing the work of the people, because you can't send everybody up there. So what you're hearing from a lot of analysts, both all these experts, you know, polling experts, political analysts, just talking head on the news media, is threat to democracy. Well, there's only a few things that can be a threat to democracy, meaning that it no longer matters what the people say. It only matters what the career politicians in Washington say. Well, that errs on the side of totalitarian. That errs on the side of dictatorship, if it were a single person calling the shots. But that would be a threat to democracy. So what drives me fucking crazy about the way they use that term is they want to use it as though people talking in mass, people getting together under a single cause, under a single belief system. Now, all of a sudden, all of them talking is a threat to democracy. No, fuckers, that's the actual definition of democracy. Democracy is everyone gets a voice. And so most of the time, I mean that most of the time, what we're hearing out of them is one side or the other just doesn't want the other one to talk because they don't agree with it. So their answer is basically shut the fuck up. Well, that's not democracy. They want them to shut up because they say they're a threat to democracy. Does that make sense? They're actually saying the opposite of what people talking actually is. So having a voice, having peaceful protests, having remove people from office or not reelect or select someone else the next time you go to the voting polls, that's democracy. So there's no threat to democracy by people talking, by people participating. The fact is, both sides want the other one to not have that opportunity to talk. And because the mainstream media is the lapdog of the left, it's oftentimes on the mainstream media. They want to talk about those on the right being a threat to democracy. But you'll hear it the other way too. Again, this is not a political show, But you can try to avoid politics. Politics will not try to avoid you. You are going to be affected. You're going to be affected locally. You're going to be affected nationally. I mean, look at this. Look at what's going on with the border. It was not more than 2 months ago that we were told that the border was secure. We were told that from Mayorkas. We were told that from the press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre. We've told that from the White House. We've told from Joe, from to Kamala. We've told that. Well, here's the dumbest thing. Think about this, people. If they believed that at the time, 3 months ago, I'll use 3 months ago, because over the last 2 months, it's kind of unwound. And now all of a sudden, the crisis at the border is not only acknowledged, now it's someone else's fault and they need more money to fix it, which is garbage. It's not true. The same executive orders that opened it up after he got in office are the same executive orders that could put it back the way that it was. Don't be fooled. It doesn't require more money. It doesn't require more people. It doesn't require an act of Congress. That's simply not true. But the way they could have proved it, if in fact the border had been secure, think about this. Do we not have modern technology? What is going on that we don't have drones run by the Border Patrol agents showing aerial views of the fence or wire or the partial wall with people on the other side that can't come across? Why wouldn't they show that? Wouldn't that be the easiest thing to demonstrate in the world, is how secure it is, by showing aerial footage of people trying to get in that can't get in illegally? And let's be clear about that, people. We've always had legal immigration in the United States. We have. Bring us your poor and all the stuff that at the base of the Statue of Liberty says. It's still true. Legal immigration still exists. What we're trying to prevent is illegal immigration. And so the narrative is switched from the border's secure, everything's fine, no problem, which they could have easily proven and didn't, chose not to because it wasn't true. And now acknowledgement that there is a big problem and we have to get more money, or we have to get more bipartisanship, or whatever their stupid words of the day are. And if we don't, it's a threat to democracy. It's a threat to democracy. What does that mean? What does a threat to democracy, what does it, okay, if democracy were threatened to the point where it was at risk of not existing, what would then the world look like in the United States? And you can't really answer that, because it's not likely, unless our entire freedom and liberty goes by the wayside, as other civilizations have, and we're at the far reaches of most free democracies that have existed on the planet since the beginning of record keeping of mankind. Most democracies have failed at around 2,000 years, and we're at 200 years. So we're at 250 years. Let me say that again. Most democracies fail around 200 years. They don't last beyond that, because so much corruption takes place in those leadership roles that no longer are abiding by the representative democratic process. So we're at 250. It's a long time. 50 years beyond what most have lasted is a long time. So there's a chance that it is actually that the U.S. that we've known, myself being 53 years old, have known for my lifetime, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness could no longer be a thing. I'm not willing to flush that. I'm not willing to say I'm pessimistic and I believe that's going to happen. But we have to acknowledge that those that are saying the end of the threat to democracy are, they're actually trying to put themselves in a stronger position politically to dictate things to what should be the voting public and should be the choice of the voting public. But that's not really the case. They want to give the illusion. And so their way of rallying those that think that the people in Washington are doing good for them, the way to keep them at bay is to tell them anything that they don't like is a threat to our democracy, a threat to democracy. And it's simply not true. Democracy is strong if run properly. A democracy is a representative democracy is the best our founding fathers could come up with. And it generated the most wealthy and prosperous country on planet Earth in the history of mankind in the United States. That's irrefutable. Has it been perfect? No. Has it been without its flaws? No. Have there been struggles along the way? Yeah. Have there been bad leadership? Have people elected the wrong person and who went there and governed differently than they had campaigned or changed their philosophies or how they go about doing things once they got that position of power? I don't understand that. I don't understand that position of power and what they say that power, you know, power is like the greatest aphrodisiac, that elected power to go to Washington. I don't understand that. I've never been there, even to visit, but certainly not as an elected official. So I don't know what goes on inside those halls and inside those rooms, and offices and administrations. I don't know. But it must be extremely intoxicating. It has to be, because so many work so hard to try and keep that power within their control. So the threat to democracy is the term that's going to probably drive me nuts headed into this a long election season. We still have 8 months to go. But there you have it. So I'll come back with full episodes again, starting with Is the Promise Still Valid? And a few others I've got prepared. So until next time, this is Blackjack Wade signing off.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and tell your friends and family to check out Blackjack Wade's Midlife on their favorite podcast platform or on the web at blackjackwade.com. And as always, listener feedback and topic suggestions are welcome. Please email me at host@blackjackwade.com. That's host, H-O-S-T, @blackjackwade.com.